The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code
WIN125. Here we go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome in to The Drive. Alongside Dave
this
Pepper.
This is not The Drive.
Oh. This is The Blitz. John Lee here with A.J.
You've
Hoffman.
Worked here a long time.
I don't know. I thought Derek Johnson still played for the Chiefs.
He does, right?
I think so.
No.
Hunter Henry?
Well, at least Hunter Henry's at least in the league.
If you guys don't know.
Chargers not in San Diego.
No.
Spencer Ware not playing tonight.
No.
Derek Johnson not in the National Football League. Hunter Henry, I mean, that's a ghost, basically. Rough morning.
And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, we'll play it here in a second. But
Hunter Henry, if he has a miraculous recovery from his torn ACL and he's on the field tonight, that's a guy to watch. And the matchup with he and the retired or at least free agent Derek Johnson is something I'm going to be keeping an eye on.
Do you think that Hunter Henry with a torn ACL could outrun retired Derek Johnson?
Oh, that's a good match. I'm going to say Hunter Henry is maybe 2 months removed from ACL surgery. I'm going to say no, Derek Johnson faster right now, today.
Okay. Well,
what about the Chiefs tight end, Tony Gonzalez? Do you feel like he's set up to have a big night? I mean, I know Junior Seau is going to be running around out there giving him problems. But
without a head?
Right. I mean, but you have to assume that that he'll be out there looking good. And I know Rich Gannon is poised to have a big game this weekend for the Chiefs, and it's I'm excited about this matchup for sure.
And Dan Fouts will be playing quarterback.
Oh yes.
And maybe LT will be stepping in for the injured Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen A. Smith not very good with football.
Not the best. That's the thing. Stephen A. Smith, when he's on basketball only, pretty good. You know, he's a well-connected guy in that regard. When he tries to do other sports is when I'm like, ugh. I get that way about football with him. I get that way about boxing with him. For some reason, like, everyone just accepts him as a boxing expert. And I'm telling you, he doesn't know anything about boxing. He just shows up, and they're like, okay, well, you're a boxing guy now. And he talks some random gibberish, but he doesn't know what he's talking about.
And
now he's telling you, like, Marty Schottenheimer's coaching tonight for the Chiefs, and everybody's like, oh, okay.
Stephen A. Smith on Twitter responded, said, my brother, it's called a mistake because I think I was thinking of Virgil Green, but mentioned Hunter because I was multitasking. That's what happens when you're doing 1,000 things. But I don't blame you if you told me to stay off the weed. That was my brain lock moment. But that wasn't your only mistake, though. You're also talking about Spencer Ware, who's out.
But he was talking about, so he went out of his way to say that Virgil Green is going to be a big weapon tonight. Virgil Green has been held without a catch the last 3 weeks. I don't understand why anyone would buy that line of BS.
Yes. Stay off the weed.
Yeah. Virgil Green has one touchdown reception all year.
15 passes caught all year.
15 receptions in 13 games. But that's who you're thinking about. That's the guy that's on your mind. That's the secret weapon for the Chargers tonight.
I mean, at least own up to it. Just be like,
and what about Derek Johnson? And by the way, who's multitasking that hard when you're doing your show? Like, that, aren't you supposed to be working then? That's like if I'm sitting here playing Candy Crush while you're talking. Go ahead, John. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Priest Holmes should have a big night tonight. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here?
Who do you like tonight, by the way? Chiefs, Chargers.
I lean Chargers. I think the Chiefs are starting to slow down a little bit offensively. I think Spencer Ware was more important to them than people thought. Mm-hmm. And now you're getting not only to his backup, but now you're getting to the backup's backup. And if they can't run the ball, then it's not as easy to just, you know, throw the ball all over the place. And they've really, you know, they're down to two real pass-catching threats in Kelce and Tyreek Hill. So I think this Chargers or this Chiefs offense isn't as potent as it was a month ago. But I also think it's a little bit built into the line because the line says that the Chiefs are only a half a point better than the Chargers on a neutral. That might not be true either. So gun to head, I'd pick the Chargers, but it's not a game for me.
No. It should be a fun game to watch, though. I want to see what the Chargers look like. I mean, they've actually come off pretty impressive victories in the last couple of weeks. The Steelers that they had some favorable calls in that game, but coming off the win against the Bengals and then the Steelers and the Broncos about 3 weeks ago. But I'm interested to see this matchup, it might be more important for the Chargers than the Chiefs. To them to move up to actually taking the division and their rest. I mean, the Chiefs will be without who's their running back now? It's like the West,
Josh,
right?
Are you talking about
the Chiefs?
The Chiefs, Damian Williams.
Okay, because yeah, they signed West, I think, last week to his backup Spencer Ware. But I had the Chargers in the Super Bowl, so I'm actually pulling for the Chargers, kind of make my pick look kind of right. But on the flip side, though, very wrong about the Vikings.
That was your
part.
Other choice?
Yeah. Vikings, no, right. Vikings, Chargers, and I had the Chargers beating the Vikings in the Super Bowl. So
I think the only thing I was right about was, the teams that I've got in the Super Bowl, I still feel okay about the rest of it. No, not good. Falcons winning NFC South seems unlikely now.
No.
Yeah, seems very unlikely. Jags winning the AFC South feels unlikely.
Did you see who they're starting on Sunday?
The Jags?
Yeah.
No.
Josh Johnson.
No, that's the Redskins.
Is that the Redskins?
Yeah, the Redskins are starting Josh Johnson against the Jags. Yeah. The
first start for Josh Johnson since 2011.
Yeah.
7 years and 12 days.
Well, it's that or Mark Sanchez. What are you picking?
I'll take Mark Sanchez.
Listen, Josh Jackson. So last week, Josh Jackson played the second half of that game against the Giants. Josh Jackson came in the game when the game was 40-0. So Mark Sanchez led his team to a 40-0 deficit. The final score was 40-16. I'm going to say, you know what? Josh Jackson, you scored 16 points. You get the job this time. Mark Sanchez is horrible. I think, like, when the team sees him go out there, it's like, ugh. They don't even want to be out there.
Man, even though Jacksonville's having such a bad year, they're 7.5 point favorites against Washington.
Yeah.
That's
tells you where the quarterback is.
That's crazy. And Washington, I mean, just a few weeks ago, was fighting for the NFC East title. And then Alex Smith goes down.
Yep.
And then Colt McCoy goes down, and then his season's in the dumpster.
Well, I mean, you could say the other team that's done the same thing is Carolina. I mean, things were going so well for them. What they start out like 6-2? Now they're 6-7? I mean, it's pretty wild how quickly things can happen.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, Cam Newton's been playing pretty bad, and especially in that Tampa Bay game where he had the over in that game for our gal pool. Because I think the first time they met, they damn near put up 60 points between the two of them, and Tampa scores like crazy, and it turned out to be a defensive matchup. And Cam Newton not playing very well in the last couple of weeks. So, and if you guys want to get in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at My Name Jong. AJ's at AJ Is The Real. Tyler is producing. He's at Producer T Scott. And you can find us on our show Twitter at Degenerates975. And another thing that I want to admit that I'm wrong about, that I didn't get to get to with our show, was Carmelo Anthony.
What do you mean?
When they were thinking about signing Carmelo Anthony, I said he might not be a bad fit for the Rockets. And losing Trevor Ariza and replacing him with James Ennis might not be the worst thing in the world for the Rockets. I want to sit here and say that I was wrong about the team.
Okay. Yeah. Is this to me today? Or are you saying
to me? To you, because I haven't actually apologized to you about...
Well, you don't have to apologize to me.
Carmelo Anthony.
I mean, you chose the wrong side. That happens all the time. That's all right.
I did.
You don't have to apologize.
The best basketball team in town, though, is the Houston Cougars. Did you guys catch that game last night?
I did watch that game last night. I was on the over, so I was happy either way. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It seemed like they were about done. And yeah. LSU just completely melts down in the second half. They were dominating that game in the first half. They were running UH out of the gym.
Yeah, Houston was turning the ball over, like, a lot. I think at one point they had 8 turnovers, and it might have been, like, halfway through the first half. And LSU turned a lot of those turnovers into points, and then U of H caught on fire in the second half. They're, you know, getting to the basket, and they're hitting a lot of threes. And from the sound of it, it seemed like it was it's a very good home court for U of H, and only the second home game for the Cougars, for the Fertitta Center. And it seems like people are packing that place.
So far, so good. Yeah, yeah. I haven't been out there. Jerome says it's awesome. He says it's state of the art. So I need to get out there and see it. But I don't like to leave my house.
Anything better than what they were playing in a couple of years ago before they renovated? It was a piece of crap. And
how dare you, sir?
I was there.
Well, why didn't you make a donation?
I've been radio man.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
He went there. His tuition was a donation.
That's not, no. Once you graduate, you're supposed to give a donation.
They asked me to donate. I think I donated $20.18.
Did you graduate from there?
Yeah.
And you donated?
Just that much.
What about you, Jung? Did you donate any?
I don't think so.
I mean, you're making more money than Tyler.
Yeah, but...
Or maybe it wasn't 2018. It was whatever year I graduated, they asked you to donate that dollar amount, like basically make the year.
Oh, they were trying to get you to pay like $2,015
and I was like, well, no, they said, like, we know that you just graduated. You probably don't have a lot of money, whatever. If you could just donate this little amount the year of your graduation, so $20 and then 18 cents.
Oh, okay.
Whatever it was. I donated that, and now they send me correspondence, and it's addressed to Mr. Scott Tyler, so I don't donate anything.
Oh, to hell with them. Yeah. There's no comma?
No.
Oh.
Mr. Scott Tyler.
Oh.
I got it completely wrong.
Did you write Scott Tyler?
I know where first name goes and last name goes, and I got that part correct, but they did not.
Yeah, the Cougars should be pretty fun to watch going forward. And I think the only ranked team in the American Athletic Conference. I'm guessing that conference is probably going to be just one bid conference when we get to March, one or two.
I don't know about that. I think. It's typically going to, it's been more than one. I don't think it's, I think that that's a more respected conference. It would surprise me, I'll say, if they were to only get one bid. I don't think it's that down. It's not in great shape, but I can't imagine that, you know, right now Temple's in that conversation. Cincinnati's in the conversation. I think Central Florida's had a good season. So I think there's a few teams that they'll look at. I would guess 3-4 teams would be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, Cincinnati's won 9 games in a row, just like UH. So they're pretty damn good too. I think Temple's lost. I think they're like 8-2, something like that. So there's some good teams in that conference. I think UH may be kind of the surprise of the bunch.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't expect them to be 9-0 at this point.
And I mean, Kelvin Sampson's doing a hell of a job.
Really great job.
I mean, I would assume that bigger schools might be looking at him come season's end. And I mean, I think he deserves it.
I mean, I think they were looking at him last year. I think the guy's happy here. You guys realize he's got a low pressure job, you know, solid recruiting ground. Why put any more pressure on yourself? But they may throw a bunch of money at him.
Yeah.
Can change things.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I feel like I don't think U of H can pay Kelvin Sampson what other big basketball programs can. And it's, you know, stepping stone school is University of Houston for a lot of their stuff. So when we come back, we'll be going through. Do you want to go through some lines over the weekend?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, we'll do that coming back. And John Lee filling in for Fred Fowler, who's on vacation. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
All right, guys, Christmas is right around the corner. Go with a win-win this year. Something that's going to make her feel hot and heat up your holiday as well. How? The super warm, world-famous Hoodie Footy from Pajamagram, America's PJ experts. Let's face it, it's hard to be hot when she's freezing cold. The Hoodie Footy is the ultimate solution. Combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. That head-to-toe warmth means she'll be cozying up to you in no time. You can find all the Hoodie Footy styles, including mink chocolate, snow leopard, and many others at pajamagram.com. Best of all, you don't have to wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Delivery by Christmas is guaranteed, and they're backed by a 100% lifetime guarantee, so you're risking nothing. Go to Pajamagram.com or give them a call right now. 1-800-GIVE-PJs. That's Pajamagram.com. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler. John Lee sitting in for Fred Fowler alongside A.J. Hoffman. This is The Blitz. We wanted to go over a couple of lines. We talked about the Chargers-Chiefs game. The line is at -3 tonight. The Chiefs favored by 3.5. I'm with AJ. I don't think I would touch that game. I don't know what the Chiefs kind of would look like without a running game, because a lot of the passing game was predicated with Kareem Hunt being able to run the ball. And I think the Chargers are a really good team. And it's a short week visiting team. Going all the way to Kansas City, I wouldn't touch that game. And you feel the same way, right?
I feel the same.
Let's go Houston Jets. That line keeps going up. It started off at -6.6-point favorites for the Texans. That's 6.5-point favorite. Are you going to tell me that they're
6.5-point road favorites?
They're 9.5-point favorites at home.
No.
If they no. They're 12.5-point favorites.
Point favorites and all.
Neutral field, it would be 9.5-point favorites. It's screaming, take Jets, but I wouldn't touch that game either.
I don't think I'm going to play it either, because I think the Jets are horrible. They did get a win last week. A win they, like, if you look at the box score, it looks like a phony win, because mm-hmm. the Bills kind of dominated them. But there's a couple things that jump out at me. The Texans have, they've owned bad quarterbacks, and Sam Darnold at this point is a bad quarterback. The other thing that's making me not want to go Texans is it's a different week. It's an abnormal week, which means they're playing on Saturday instead of Sunday. It might not seem like a big deal, but it's more of a big deal to the road team than it is the home team. Mm-hmm. You know, so the normal routine of the week has been thrown off for the Texans. But I unless I see a 7, I'm not betting the Jets, and I don't think there's any way I'm betting the Texans given that many points on the road. The Texans have not been a good road team this year.
And Bill O'Brien, I can't find this, but I think at the beginning of the season, or it was at the end of the season, this is straight up though. Bill O'Brien does very well against rookie quarterbacks, and Sam Darnold is your rookie quarterback. So I wouldn't touch that game. But I mean, Houston, they should win comfortably, I think. But from a betting perspective, there's no way that I can touch 6.5 points. I thought the line would go down, but no, it keeps going up. Cleveland at Denver. Denver 2.5 point favorites at home. And this is also this is the Saturday night game.
Yeah, I lean to Cleveland here. Denver's in a situation where, with the loss last week, they're not eliminated from the playoffs, but they're about eliminated from the playoffs. And there's obviously going to be a big letdown with that when that happens, because the reality is they're probably not beating the Chargers. You know, so they would have to beat the Browns and then win a road game against the Raiders, and that would get them to 8-7. And then they've got a last game with the Chargers. That would make, let's say they win it, that's 9-7. There's no guarantee that gets you in the playoffs at this point. I think they're a little bit bummed out after last week's performance, a game that, you know, they probably felt like they should have won against the 49ers, and they just, it didn't happen. They didn't show up that game. You know, when you say, oh, we're 6-6 and we've got the Niners, Browns, and Raiders left on the schedule, you got to be feeling good. You lose that game. And that was after they'd won 3 in a row, mind you. Mm-hmm. Won 3 in a row. Then they have that letdown against the Niners. The Browns are a team, they don't think they can make the playoffs, but they are excited about what's going on in Cleveland. There's a lot of effort there. They want to keep that momentum rolling into next season, even if this season's out of reach. Although, and really, this season's not out of reach.
I have a scenario on how they can make the playoffs.
Yeah, the Browns are only 2 games behind the Steelers, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, it's all but out of the realm of possibility, but I do think the Browns are the team this week.
I'll run this down very quickly. This is how the Browns can secure a wild card spot. The Browns, they have to win out. They have to beat the Broncos, Bengals, and Ravens. The Ravens have to lose one of their next 2 games against the Buccaneers and Chargers. I could see them losing against one of those teams. The Colts have to drop 2 of the next 3 to either the Cowboys, Giants, and Titans. The Dolphins would have to lose 2 of the next 3 to the Vikings, Jaguars, or Bills. Good luck with that one. And the Titans would have to lose 2 of the next 3 against the Giants, Redskins, and Colts. It's not impossible, but their back's against the wall. And Cleveland has won 3 of their, has covered 3 of their last 4 games. The only game that they didn't cover was against the Texans. I actually like Browns here I should have taken the Browns over the Broncos, but I think when I turned my line in, I think the Broncos were 3-point favorites. This line is trending towards Cleveland, or is trending back down towards the Broncos. Next game, the Dolphins at Minnesota. Minnesota 7-point favorites at home. I don't think Vegas has caught up with the Vikings. They're not that good.
Yeah, but you know what? Neither are the Dolphins. The Dolphins are being outgained by almost 100 yards per game on average.
They've covered the last 3 games.
There is that to be said, but at some point you got to look at how long is that sustainable when you're being outgained by 100 yards per game. They are horrible on the offensive side. Like, there's no redeeming, you know, quality about the Dolphins offense. There's not a lot of good things you can say about it. They've got, now the one thing I will say is they're playing. I think they're playing for their coach. They want to keep Adam Gase around, and I think Adam Gase is on a real hot seat at this point. But I just don't think it's going to matter. I don't think they've got enough. When you've got Kenny Stills and Frank Gore. That said, I'm not crazy about the Vikings either. It's not a team I'm looking to give 7 points with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Vikings, let's face it, the Dolphins' defense isn't Seattle's defense.
No.
So it's the Vikings should have an easier time moving the ball. Those receivers are going to be hard to cover for the Dolphins. But, yeah, it just seems like too many points for me right now.
Yeah, I mean, they kept it against the Seahawks. They kept it 3-0 through two quarters. Yeah. And it was, 6-0 halfway through the third quarter?
And then they got stopped at the one-yard line. Mm-hmm. Would have taken the lead. Yeah. The whole game could change right there.
That after that sequence, it kind of unraveled for them. Like, I think Seattle ended up punting on that after they got stopped on fourth and one from the goal line. And then I think Seattle punted, but then Seattle kind of flipped. They punted, and they got the ball back, and then they scored real quick. And that it kind of unraveled very quickly. And next thing you know, it's 21-0 in the fourth quarter. Yep. So I want to lean Dolphin here, but I think you're talking me off of it. I think we're up against it. So when we come back, we'll do the rest of the – we'll try to rattle off the rest of these lines when we come back. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
And still, bad things. It's a lot of bad things that they wish and they wish and they wish.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store.
Hey Houston, this is Tony Kent with the Houston Astros, and you're listening to the number one sports show in Houston, The Blitz, with Fred and AJ.
No Fred Fowler, John Lee here sitting in for Fred. We were going through the lines, and the next game that we were going to go through was the Baltimore Ravens and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And right before we came back from break, I kind of posed a question to AJ. I said, I can't tell if Baltimore is overrated or underrated because, I mean, they're 7.5-point favorites at home against the Buccaneers. And you take a look at their last four games. They lost to the Chiefs. Very close game. They lost by 3 points. They covered that game. And they've covered the last three games. But the games that they've won, they won three of their last four games. They beat the Bengals, Raiders, and Falcons. So I don't know exactly what the Ravens are.
So the Ravens are a team they're one of my likes for this week. The Ravens have, since Lamar Jackson has come in, all those teams you mentioned, those four teams you mentioned, mm-hmm. are number 32, 31, 29, and 28 in rush defense. The Tampa Bay Bucs are number 30. So they're going to have played the five worst rushing defenses in Lamar Jackson's first five games. Lamar Jackson's been very effective running the ball. He can't throw. They've said they're going to stick with him after you know, even when Joe Flacco's healthy. I think they're going to run into some real problems unless they're playing a team that just can't defend the run. But I think that this is a situation where the Bucs are bad enough against the run, and the Ravens' defense is good enough to slow down Tampa, and Tampa's a team that likes to turn the ball over anyway. Mm-hmm. Once they start doing that with the Ravens, I think the Ravens can run away with this. I'd prefer it at 7, but even at 7.5, I think that's the right side.
The 46.5 over-under, that looks kind of juicy to me just because Tampa, even though they turn the ball over a lot, they do score. They can put up points, and Baltimore is not like... It's not like they're, you know, slouches on offense either. And if you think they can run the ball with Lamar Jackson, I could see them putting up 27, 30 points.
Well, think back to last week, and this is where people maybe aren't respecting the Ravens defensively. There was only 52 points put up in the Baltimore-Kansas City game. Mm-hmm. And Kansas City's just as bad as Tampa defensively. Do you think they're as good as Tampa, or do you think Tampa's as good as Kansas City on offense?
Oh, no.
So, and that was at in Kansas City. So I feel like the total, if I actually would probably lean the other way.
Okay. We have Indianapolis.
And that 52 was in overtime.
Yeah.
They were at 49 in through regulation. So it's Baltimore salty on D.
We have Colts hosting the Cowboys. Colts, you got that 3-point favorites at home. I kind of like Colts here.
I like the Colts a lot here. So this is a situation where Dallas doesn't really have a lot to play for.
Mm-hmm.
This game won't impact whether or not Dallas makes the playoffs. This game greatly impacts whether or not the Colts can make the playoffs. So the Colts have serious motivation here. The Cowboys have basically no motivation here. And I think you have to think back to, you know, Frank Reich being the coach of the Eagles last year and how they've done against the other teams from the NFC East. He's familiar with these teams from the NFC East. And so far, they're 2-0 ATS against the NFC East. I think they're going to be 3-0 with the Cowboys win here. So I like the Colts.
And then the next game, we got Buffalo and Detroit. Buffalo -2 at home.
Detroit's a disaster. I don't know what. When Kerryon Johnson went out, they just collapsed, and they moved away from Golden Tate, so now they're short at wide receiver. They can't run the ball anymore. Matthew Stafford's banged up. He almost didn't play last week against Arizona because his back was messed up. Now they're going on the road to play in cold weather. I don't know where the Lions get points from, and I don't know what happened to the Lions from last year to this year.
Head coach.
I guess so, but maybe they just didn't get the right guy. But typically you don't see, when a coach gets fired, usually his replacement, you see some sort of an upgrade. So far we've seen a real regression offensively for the Lions. They don't look good at all. So I don't feel good about these guys.
I would hold my nose and click Buffalo. In the next game, we got Chicago hosting Green Bay. Chicago 6-point favorites at home. This is almost, I stereotype both these teams. Packers, I always say they have Aaron Rodgers. Not this year. Chicago, I wasn't very big on Mitch Trubisky coming out. This year, playing fantastic. 6-point favorites at home. I kind of lean Chicago here.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me. I'm almost going to lean the opposite way because the way that the Packers looked last week and they came out just on fire, I think that they are having like a real... They're kind of rallying around Aaron Rodgers right now because with McCarthy gone, it's clear he won that battle.
Oh, yeah.
So they feel like they've got a rally on Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers feels like his reputation's on the line here because we don't know for sure because we're not there. But by all accounts, Mike McCarthy was sort of run out of town by Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers wants to show that he was right, you know, that Mike McCarthy was holding him back. And I think Aaron Rodgers continues to have good games. And, you know, unlike last week where the Rams struggled in the weather in Chicago, they struggled with the cold, they struggled in the wind. Green Bay's not going to have that problem. They're more than used to it. I don't think Green Bay's very good, but I think they're good enough to stay within six against the Bears. I think the Bears are starting to get pricey.
They are starting to get pricey, and hell, they've covered seven of the last eight games. Yep. They've covered seven of the last eight games, and that defense is salty. Look at what it did to the Rams. I get what you're saying. Like the Rams. Our warm weather team going up there, and Jared Goff looked like rookie Jared Goff up there last week. So, I might have gone the exact opposite way with the Packers because I had them winning the damn division. Oh no, I had them making the playoffs and making a deep run because they have Aaron Rodgers, and I don't trust the Packers anymore. The next game, Giants hosting the Tennessee Titans. Giants 2-point favorites at home with the Titans.
Yeah, this one's tough for me. I'm lower on the Titans than basically everybody. Everyone seems to think that suddenly the Titans, they have a an upgrade at head coach. Everyone thinks Mike Vrabel's so great, so much better than Mularkey, and maybe he is. I don't know, but I'm not seeing much to convince me that he's a significant upgrade. Their offense is so bad. Marcus Mariota is so bad. This team was 9-7 last year, 9-7 in 2016. I don't know what they'll finish this year, but I mean, at this point, 9-7 would be impressive, considering. Well, I mean, maybe not. They've got the Giants and the Redskins, but then they'd play the Colts. So if they go 9-7 again, are they any better than they were a year ago? So all this love for Mike Vrabel, what's the purpose of it? Marcus Mariota, this is what Jerome and I were talking about yesterday. Marcus Mariota's thrown for 2,000 less yards than Patrick Mahomes.
Oh.
Patrick Mahomes has thrown for 32 more touchdowns than Marcus Mariota. Like,
Marcus Mariota only have 8 touchdowns?
He's got 11.
Oh.
Yeah. So these guys are still playing, like, you know, dinosaur-style football. They offensively, they just can't keep up. And the Giants aren't good. The Giants, it's a little bit phony with what we've seen out of them recently. They've had some good matchups. They're not great. But Saquon Barkley is a player. Odell Beckham is a player. The Titans really don't have a playmaker on offense. And I know Derrick Henry just ran for like a million yards, but that's happened one time in the history of ever. So I'm just going to go ahead and fade it happening again back-to-back weeks. I think if I had to choose a side, it'd be the Giants.
I think the Titans might be the most inconsistent team in the NFL. I mean, you turn around, beat the freaking the Patriots 1 week, and then they turn around and get dog stomped by the Colts the next week. They won by 24 against the Patriots, and then turn around and lose by 28 to the Colts. And it's just I don't know what they are. And with Marcus Mariota, I do think that they're babying him a little bit. And that's kind of, you've seen a little bit of a regression in his game. I think this goes back to when they hired Mike Vrabel. What did you say on the show?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, and I think this is what you're seeing with the Titans. I mean, it's the first year, but it almost seems like a Tom Herman rah-rah type of guy. He'll get up for these big games. He'll beat the Patriots. He beat the Texans coming into NRG at the beginning of the season. So I don't know what the Titans are, and I don't like Mike Vrabel, and I don't have a lean one way or the other. But if I had to put some money on it, I would have to say Giants -2. The next game, Jacksonville, 7.5-point favorites at home against the lowly Washington Redskins.
Yeah, not much to say about this. I lean Jacksonville 7.5. I don't want to play on Jacksonville. I don't want to have money on Jacksonville. But there's no way you can put money into Josh Johnson and the Washington Redskins. And Josh Johnson hadn't played football in 5 years until last week. I mean, the Giants were basically in prevent mode all game, and he still looked meh. Jacksonville's defense is going to eat that guy up. I don't trust Jacksonville to score a bunch of points.
No.
And this total's so low. 36 is the total, which is almost an unbettable number in the NFL. I mean, that you're – but if there was a time to bet under 36, it's probably this game.
Yeah. I could see Jacksonville shutting them out in like a 13-0 game. The next game, Falcons Falcons 9.5-point favorites at home against the Cardinals.
This is another number where I'm not willing to give 9.5 points with the Falcons, but how's Arizona going to score? They can't. David Johnson hasn't been able to run the ball. They can't get the ball downfield. Christian Kirk's out for the season now. Josh Rosen is like checking down to the running back every single play, and teams know it, and they're not letting him get anything from it. Atlanta's got a pretty bad defense, but I just don't think Arizona's good enough to take advantage of it. They are okay on defense, Arizona. I probably lean to the under more than a side. And that's a 44 total, which is a low total for Atlanta games. Especially, we talked yesterday about how great Matt Ryan's been this year, in spite of the team being horrible and their defense being horrible. But I just don't see where Arizona gets points from. I just don't see it happening.
We'll quickly run through the last four. We got 49ers hosting the Seahawks. Seahawks -3.5 on the road. I kind of leaned Seattle maybe here. Seattle's been playing great football, might be one of the best teams in the NFC at the moment. They started off the season kind of rough, but has kind of picked it back up in the back end of the season.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with them this last week against Minnesota. I mean, I was impressed defensively, but man, their offense is just so meh.
Russell Wilson did the most un-Russell Wilson thing at the end of that second quarter. He doesn't do that, and they go up 6-0 at the minimum, or they go up 10-0, and you're talking about a completely different game there.
Maybe so. I lean Seattle too, but I don't think they're a team I want to play this week.
New England -2.5 on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This game opened up with the Patriots -1 on the road. New England plays the Steelers very well and has covered a handful of times. And I think they've covered 4 of the last 5 games they played the Steelers. I like the Patriots here.
Yeah, I do too. Pittsburgh is not as good as we're accustomed to them being, and no running game is really hurting them. No James Conner again, it looks like, and Ben Roethlisberger can keep teams in games. The other thing is the Patriots, after they lost last week, it's hard to picture late season Patriots, like December Patriots, losing 2 games in a row.
Yeah.
So I think they get right here. And like you said, they've kind of owned Pittsburgh recently. So I like New England.
Rams hosting the Eagles. Rams -11.5 at home. Sunday night football. I kind of would want to stay away from this one.
Yeah, the number's kind of gotten out from where I'd like it. If it were still 9.5 where it opened, I'd say the Rams. Now you're getting into a 11.5 is a number where everything's got to go right for you. But remember, the Eagles have no secondary. Mm-hmm. Who's going to feast on that? The Rams. I mean, the Rams have so many weapons on offense. I just can't picture. I can't picture the Eagles keeping up with him, and no Carson Wentz. So I don't know what the downgrade is to Nick Foles. I mean, Nick Foles obviously won a Super Bowl, so he's not the worst quarterback out there, but he's also not Carson Wentz.
And he has not looked good. He did not look good earlier this season.
He did not look good early in the season.
And the last one, we've got Saints on the road against the Panthers. Saints 6-point favorites on the road. I think Carolina is kind of folding here towards the end of the season. I like Saint here -6, giving 6 points on the road.
Yeah, I think that's the easy side to take. It's probably a stay away from me, first of all, but I just think New Orleans offensively, something's wrong with them. You know, they did not play well against Tampa. I mean, the final score looks okay, but they did not look good. And Tampa kind of gave away that game in the second half. So I don't know what's going on with New Orleans. Suddenly, they don't look like the rocket ship that they looked like. And you could say the same thing about the Rams and the Chiefs. All of these world-class offenses have been slowing down as we get later into the season. Carolina's a ball-control team. They can hold the ball. They can keep it away from you for a while. Cam runs the ball. They do short passes to Christian McCaffrey, who's having a fantastic season. It makes me think that they can keep within that number. But I just don't want to bet on a team that I feel like is a team that's got a losing mentality at this point.
5 straight losses.
Yeah.
5 straight losses.
I mean, that team looked like they were going to walk to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Now it's 5 straight losses after a 3-game winning streak in October. They've come off 5 straight losses for your Carolina Panthers.
All right. What'd you say here, Tyler? John, you know what time it is?
Golfgate time?
It's Golfgate time out at Golfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. And the savings never stop at Golfgate. They are your savings headquarters Monday through Friday and every Sunday. Spread some holiday cheer with a brand new, totally redesigned 2019 Ram 1500 for just $21,484. Or you can even lease it for $299 a month. Motor Trend's Truck of the Year. And Golfgate's got the largest Ram inventory in the loop. They've also got a new state-of-the-art service center that's now open twice the size to service twice the vehicles by their certified technicians. Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, 610 South Loop East and Gulf Freeway, and always open online at gulfgatedodge.com. Buy a new 2018 Ram 1500 MSRP, $32,740, $5,750 dealer discount, $5,000 manufacturer's discount, $299 a month for 84 months, 4.5% APR, $3,000 down, plus TT&L, must take from dealer inventory. See dealer for details. Good through 1-3-19.
ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler. Jong Lee sitting in for Fred with alongside A.J. We have a very quick segment here. Do you know who Ninja is?
The video game guy?
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be calling Thursday Night Football on Twitch for tonight's game.
Hmm. Guess who won't be watching on Twitch?
You.
Me.
But the crazy... When I first saw this, I was like, this is like the stupidest thing in the world. Like, this is such a gimmick. But I look at his numbers. Twitter is probably his least amount of followers. He's at 3.71 million Twitter followers. On Instagram, he's at 11.8 million Instagram followers. And on Twitch, he has 12.5 million subscribers. And I went to his Twitch page today just because of the story.
Do you have a Twitch account?
Do I? No.
Okay.
Barry does.
Barry does, yeah.
Really?
Barry plays Red Dead Redemption 2 on Twitch. He live streams.
So is Twitch where like people watch you play video games?
Yeah.
This must be like I'm an old man or something. I cannot imagine sitting around watching other people play video games.
I mean, I don't do it other than like strategy. I play some video games that I watch for strategy on YouTube, but I don't sit there and watch live streams of like he plays mostly Fortnite and like Call of Duty and stuff like that. I can't sit there and watch him play that.
Like, I don't know about you guys, but the worst thing for me is when like, okay, you're hanging out with two of your buddies back in the day and there's only two sticks. And there's a Madden game going, and you're the guy who's not in the game.
You got to watch.
You're waiting for one of them to lose so you can take over the stick. Now, like, there's no chance of you taking over the stick, and you're still watching, and you don't know these dudes. I just don't get it. I don't understand the appeal.
Do you want to take a guess as to how much this guy makes a month?
Oh, I'm sure it's ridiculous. I mean,
he gets paid like a pro athlete.
He makes $500,000 a month.
What a life.
And his last stream, 383 million views on Twitch.
Oh, boy.
After seeing that, I look at the NFL and I'm like, you know what? Good for you guys. That's actually very smart to tap into what I'm assuming a video game community that probably doesn't watch too much football. I'm sure there's a small percentage that watches both Ninja play and that watches are big football fans.
Right.
But I could probably guarantee you that a lot of those people don't know, are very casual or don't watch any NFL at all. And this is another way for the NFL to tap into probably a demographic that doesn't care about your sport. And you have somebody like Ninja coming in to do some color commentary for the Chiefs and Chargers game and a actually good matchup tonight with the two of the best, two of the top teams in the AFC.
It's a watchable matchup.
Yeah, exactly. So
a lot of these Thursday nights, not great.
No, and at first when I saw this story, I was like, "You have to be kidding me!"
Yeah,
like I'm a fan of Ninja, but like this is such a gimmick. But dig into some of the numbers. Good for you guys.
So, yeah.
first hour in the books, and when we come back, we'll actually talk about maybe some NBA action with LeBron James coming into town tonight.
Okay. And speaking of those Houston Rockets, I got to tell you about what's going on with them. If you're looking for a gift for somebody in your life, the Rockets fan in your life, well, the Rockets have plenty. And they've got, for every budget and every type of fan, it's not too late to order your Rockets holiday pack starting as low as $149. There's two different five-game packages to choose from. The red pack includes tickets to see the Celtics, Pelicans, and Mavericks, the Silver Pack, the Raptors, the Warriors, and more. Take advantage of these Rockets holiday family specials as well. Next Wednesday, when the Rockets host John Wall, Bradley Beal, and the Washington Wizards. How about this deal? Four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, one family holiday photo with Santa clutch or some live reindeer. And after you and the family open up your presents from Santa, Get on out to Toyota Center. The Rockets take on Russell Westbrook and the Oklahoma City Thunder at 2 o'clock on Christmas Day. There's something for everybody with the Rockets right now. Spread your holiday cheer this season with Rockets tickets. Go to Rockets.com or call 713-627-DUNK to get yours today while they're still available.
Hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.